Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Earlier this week, there was that splashy headline. U.S. Census Bureau announces a big jump in median household income, up 5.2%, the first big increase since the Great Recession. The subhead, however, is a little more sobering. Wages are still lagging behind where they were before the year 2000. And when it comes to the Massachusetts economy, the picture here is even more complicated. A new analysis released today shows that Bay State workers didn't enjoy that 5.2% bump. So the Boston Globe's policy writer Evan Horowitz crunched the numbers, and he joins us now with more. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so start with the big picture here. How much did median income in Massachusetts rise?
2%.
2%?
Yeah, roughly half of the national average in this other survey. And it's disappointing because when you live in Massachusetts, you come to expect a certain elevated functioning. You expect the state to do better than everywhere else, and we ended up doing worse.
Okay, so that's significantly worse, actually. Break down the numbers a little further here. I see that you've got analysis that male workers barely saw any increase in income.
So this, for me, was really the bleakest part of the picture. Female earnings for full-time, year-round workers in the state went up about close to 2%. Male earnings, 0.1%. It was basically flat. And everywhere else in the country, men and women both enjoyed a raise of about 2.5%. So 0.1% for men, it's pretty distressing.
And again, is this the median income?
That's the median income for full-time male workers.
Okay, so basically it didn't rise at all. No change.
That's exactly right.
Do you have an explanation or a thought as to why that might be?
Well, I wish I could say it was just a blip and maybe things will turn around, but it's actually been like this now for at least the last 7 or 8 years. Men are seeing smaller gains than women by substantial amounts, and it's probably connected to some broader shift in the economy having to do with jobs available for men, more pressure to be highly educated where women have an advantage.
And this is, again, one of those sort of, it's a stark contrast or the ironies of Massachusetts, right? Because half the time we're talking about, you know, Boston's innovation economy, but then also the other half the time we're talking about how other cities and towns and regions across the state are lagging here. I mean, was there a regional difference or was this sort of an average across the state?
It is an average across the state, but it's happening everywhere. This is not like things are going perfectly well in Boston and not so well elsewhere. No, statewide you're seeing this problem. And the more general problem of men's wages stagnating has been happening nationwide for some time.
Right. Okay. So then at the same time, we also have these other competing numbers as well. The State Executive Office of Labor and Workforce Development announced just today that the unemployment rate in Massachusetts fell in August to 3.9%, the lowest in 15 years.
That's an unbelievable low number. And, you know, you can look for sort of caveats, but there aren't any. I mean, sometimes I prefer looking at a simpler number, which is just how many people have jobs? Out of every 100 people, how many have jobs? And that went up, too. You know, the labor market looks really strong. That should translate into wage gains for everybody. And yet somehow, at least in 2015, it didn't seem to.
Okay. Well, the money must be going somewhere, but we got to figure that out. I mean, are there any positive economic developments that you've gleaned from the Census Bureau's numbers for Massachusetts?
Sure. Going up 2% is better than going down 2%, which is what we were doing for a couple of years during
true.
The recession. And we should take that. There are some groups. I mean, one interesting sort of good news, bad news story is with Hispanic households. So the ratio of earnings for the median Hispanic household in Massachusetts to the median non-Hispanic white household is the worst in the country. That is, relative to their white peers, Hispanic households in the state make 50 cents on the dollar.
Half.
That's the bad, maybe terrible news. The good news is they saw the biggest gains last year. Hispanic households saw bigger median wage gains than any other racial or ethnic group. So good news,
I guess. I mean, if your earnings are so low, a relatively small absolute dollar value is a larger percentage value, right?
It's still. I mean, it was dramatic. It was a 10% increase. You know, you asked to look for good news. That's a bit of good news, I think.
Okay. Well, I'm going to drag us back to the not so good news part because I'm seeing that Massachusetts also didn't do as well as the rest of the country on average in reducing poverty.
No, we did absolutely nothing on reducing poverty. The poverty rate didn't change really in a statistically significant way, whereas nationwide it did. It dropped almost a full percentage point. So, no, poverty didn't change. Incomes went up a little bit. It was really a disappointing portrayal of the state of the economy in Massachusetts, and surprisingly disappointing.
Well, Evan Horowitz is a policy writer for the Boston Globe. He wrote about the Census Bureau's household income survey data specifically for Massachusetts in today's Globe. We have a link to his article at our website, radioboston.org. Evan, thanks so much for giving us a real snapshot, both good and sobering, on the Massachusetts economy. Thanks again.
Anytime.
Well, so again, that is the current snapshot on Massachusetts wages. But let's, for a second, project into the hypothetical future. Labor activists have long been calling for a $15 per hour minimum wage. It's happened in other places, most notably in California. So what if it happened here? Whom would it really affect? I guess another word, or another way of asking, is who in New England right now earns less than $15 an hour? Well, Anmol Chadha is a policy analyst at the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston, and he recently tried to answer that question, and he came up with a remarkable picture of who the low-wage earners in New England actually are, and he joins us now. Anmol Chadha, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks.
Okay, so bear with me for a second, or entertain me for a moment here. If I were to ask you to paint a composite picture of who the less than $15 an hour earner in New England is right now, who would that person be?
Right. So I think there's a few things here. First is there's a lot of them. So I think we found on average, or roughly across New England, about one-third of all workers make less than $15 an hour. Massachusetts is comparable. It's about 30%. So just in Massachusetts, that's about 760,000 workers who currently make less than $15 an hour. We also found that it's not really who you might expect. Mm-hmm. So a lot of sort of assumptions and preconceptions that people might have about who low-wage workers are, who minimum wage policies might affect. Most of the workers who make less than $15 an hour actually work full-time. The majority of them are the primary earners in their families, so they provide more than half of the income for their families. They're older than people expect. Often people think of like teenagers or people just starting out in the labor market.
Right, because we're always thinking of part-time jobs, summer jobs, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So the median age for workers who make less than $15 an hour across the economy is someone in their mid-30s.
Mid-30s.
Right, exactly. Okay. And we were even surprised in terms of education. Overall, the workforce that makes less than $15 an hour is, on average, has lower levels of education than the rest of the workforce, but a solid chunk of them actually have college degrees.
So one in five.
About one in five, that's exactly right.
In New England. So 20% of them in New England.
Yep.
Well, so this is really interesting because right there, just in that little stew of numbers, it seems as if you've debunked several preconceived notions, as you said, of who these low-wage workers are. I mean, they're working full-time. You also found that the majority of them are actually the primary wage earners in their family?
Yeah, that's right. And also a good number of them are parents as well. So we found one in five children across New England has a parent, at least one parent, who makes $15 an hour or less.
Okay. And also the numbers in terms of where these workers are, because I mean, you looked across New England, but then you also looked in various cities. I was amazed to find that in Boston, 33% of workers, according to your analysis, earn less than $15 an hour. It's even higher in other places. In Providence, 52%?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So there is some variation across within the region, within the states, between cities, and then also, of course, between different demographic groups within these places.
Okay.
So African-American and Latino workers, for example, are disproportionately likely to make less than $15 an hour.
Significantly so. Tell us more about that.
Significantly so. Actually, in a number of states, the majority of Black or Latino workers make less than $15 an hour. So in Massachusetts, that's the case for Latino workers.
The majority of them,
that's right.
Okay, and also I just want to just jump up to Maine here for a second, because of all workers in Maine, of all of them, you found that, 43% earn less than $15 an hour?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, again, there's going to be differences in sort of variation across. The economies of Maine are, you know, maybe different than what's happening in Massachusetts, and the cost of living may be lower and things like that, but that's still a striking number. I mean, that's... When people debate minimum wage policies, there's, I think, this idea that it's either a small percentage of workers, it's very low wage workers, it's young workers, people with very low levels of education and low skills who may eventually move up into up a job ladder into better paying jobs. But you know, this in terms of proposing a $15 minimum wage, we're talking about a large section of the labor force.
Okay, so I guess I have to ask you, what conclusions do we draw then of the potential effectiveness or efficacy if such a wage were to come to New England?
Yeah, well, so there's a big debate. There's these debates that happen around minimum wage policies, and there's, you know, there's two sides of the debate. So there's critics of the minimum wage would suggest that raising wages would reduce employment, as, you know, as the cost of employment or hiring workers goes up, they'll hire fewer workers. There's, in terms of the empirical evidence, it's a much more complicated picture, and there's actually a lot of the research now is showing that these, when they study actual increases in the minimum wage, they found little to no effect on employment. And that's, these are consistent findings. That's actually quite hard to ignore. And now I think there's this emerging consensus, especially among economists, that even though the simple economic models would suggest, like what people may learn in their Econ 101 class, for example, right, that price goes up, so people would hire fewer workers, that the real economy is actually a little bit more complicated. And there's probably a number of explanations for why that happens.
Yeah. You know, I want to acknowledge that since you work at the Boston Fed, that that you can't actually say anything specifically regarding specific policy proposals. But I actually just want to instead quote the chair of the Federal Reserve, Janet Yellen, because just last month in Jackson Hole at a Fed symposium, at the end of a speech, she actually talked about possibilities outside of monetary policy in terms of strengthening productivity and the economy. And she mentioned many possibilities, including improving our educational system, investing in worker training, promoting capital investment, research spending, et cetera, et cetera. And she was looking at basically, I think she was talking to Congress and saying these are important goals. Should Janet Yellen be also nudging the people when it comes to wages?
Well, I'm not here to tell Janet Yellen what she should be saying and what she should be doing, but I do think there is a it sort of highlights the importance of looking not just at the quantity of jobs that are being created, but now it's increasingly important to consider the quality of these jobs as well. So, you know, whenever there's new job numbers that come out, that's what the focus is on, right? The number of jobs are up, the number of jobs are low, and people respond to that. But I think there's this recognition, this growing recognition that we also need to be concerned with what kinds of jobs are we creating. So there has been a lot of good news that's been coming out over the last few years around job creation. Yeah. And I think, there is this growing concern around, are these well-paying jobs? Are these jobs that actually provide a ladder up? Is there mobility within these jobs? Can somebody working full-time at these jobs provide for their family?
Yeah.
And currently, with the federal minimum wage, for example, a worker working full-time, 40 hours a week, their annual income would actually be below the poverty level for a family, for a parent and one child.
Well, I do want to note that the minimum wage in Massachusetts is $10 right now, scheduled to rise to $11 in 2017. But you have painted a very compelling picture here. I mean, a third of workers in New England earning less than $15 an hour, one in five children having a parent working at that rate, most of them being full-time workers, 20% being college graduates. And of course, we've talked about the disproportionate number of African-American Latino workers who are earning these low wages. But last question for you. I mean, yes, you work at the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston, and this report is very factual. It's very numbers-based. But I got to ask, what compelled you to even ask this question in the first place? I mean, you've actually painted a very human picture of those people who are earning less than $15 an hour. Why did you want to do this?
Sure. I think there has been, as you know, over the last, you know, few years, there's been this growing public attention and concern with inequality more broadly. Within the region, Boston was identified as having the most unequal city in the United States. Massachusetts is recognized as one of the most unequal states in the country. So there is this growing concern around issues of inequality. This is the proposals around the $15 minimum wage, as you mentioned, have been approved in other states. It's getting more and more attention. It's on the table in terms of policy discussions. One of the major parties, I think, adopted it as their part of their official platform. And so we have a role in terms of providing information to people in the region, whether it's policymakers and the broader public, about providing information that can inform economic policy. So this is a growing issue of concern to people, and that's something that that we have a role to play in as well. And I also just mentioned, we had mentioned differences within the state and between cities, and the Massachusetts Budget and Policy Center also released a really detailed report on who the minimum wage increase would affect within Massachusetts and different cities.
Well, I'm all for putting actual faces to who might be impacted by public policy. Anmol Chadha is a policy analyst at the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston. He's the author of a brief that's titled A $15 Minimum Wage in New England, Who Would Be Affected? We've got a link to it at our website, radioboston.org. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.